Next, I'm happy to announce a presentation by Bart Jacobs and Harm van Stekelenburg to PubHubs, a social media protocol based on Matrix. Have fun.
Thank you very much. My name is Bart Jacobs. Harm is sitting here next to me. We are from Radboud University in Nijmegen in the Netherlands. And we're happy to tell you a little bit about a new initiative here in the Netherlands to set up a new social network based on public values. So what are the goals? We would like to set up a digital environment with public values embedded. And of course, you can talk for a long time about what public values are, but I've written a few of them here in a slide that are important for us. So privacy, security, transparency, autonomy, solidarity, truthfulness. We'd like to do something about fake news in our new network, inclusivity and accessibility. So our focus is not so much on the individual, with this libertarian idea of freedom of speech that Elon Musk tries to push, but it's more on the on the community. So we'd like you to organize a safe environment for social interaction between people interested in certain topics, for instance, between patients suffering from a certain disease, colleagues, etc. And the important point is that people in the network, as foreseen, are always part of a community and meet within such communities. So it's like going to a pub where you meet people within a specific pub. And it's not so much that you meet arbitrary persons online. And a key feature also is we don't do data plundering like the big social networks of today. So it's based on value-sensitive designs. We really look at how to incorporate certain public values into the infrastructure. And a general challenge that we set ourselves is how do we transfer the bonds that people have in the offline world to the online world? So the focus, as I said already, is really on focus on strengthening communities. But we think that indirectly, by strengthening communities, we also empower, strengthen people as members of these communities. our focus is more on protecting individuals instead of exposing them to all the evils of the online world. And the participating organizations within PubHubs will have a duty of care to act in the interests of participants. Let me tell you an example that really motivates us in what we're doing. I heard a story some time ago of parents. They had kids at the local school, primary school. The school was organizing a day trip and told the parents, you can register your kids for the trip via Facebook. And I hope you see something is going wrong here. Something is going wrong. Certain spheres are mixed, which maybe should not be mixed. And some parents complained, and the schools then reacted, yeah, what can we do? What else is there? What alternatives do we have? And this is where an example where we see room for a new network like PubHubs. Another motivator for us are patient discussion groups. What you see in the Netherlands, and I guess in most countries, that almost every disease or infection has its own discussion groups, mostly self-organized by patients. It's all very low level, not so much formalized, but it's often very important for the participants what's going on in these discussion groups. Privacy and security are a serious concern there. People are aware of this. Typically, when they enter such networks, they don't want to be known by name or on other uniquely identifying data. the larger forums, which you see in the Netherlands, they've somehow assembled a discussion forum themselves. And the smaller ones, they feel forced to go into the commercial social media, but they feel very uncomfortable about this. And this is a good environment to look at for us because it has interesting requirements, especially with respect to identity and with respect to authentication, so proving who you are. So as I mentioned already, participants like to be pseudonymous in these groups so that their real identity is not known. But sometimes they like to split off with a couple of people in smaller groups, and then they like to know their each other's real identities. And also sometimes professionals participate in these groups, and they should be recognizable as healthcare professionals, which also requires a special form of authentication. So what we like to build in our network is authentication, proof of identity, but really contextual, depending on the situation. We're not on this line before you enter our network, you should really, in all circumstances, make clear who you are, but only depending on specific circumstances. Now let's compare what we wish to do with what Facebook does. And in Facebook, every user exposed to the whole world, and everyone can approach you with all kinds of scams or whatever. Facebook does not verify user identities. It claims it has a real name policy. That means you have to enter your real name. That's what Facebook demands, but it has no way to enforce it. But really, Facebook doesn't care. As long as Facebook can recognize you each time and build up a profile of you on basis on an internal identifier it uses for you. And based on this profile, Facebook is, of course, originally set up as a commercial manipulation network to force you to buy things that you may not even want to buy. But it has more and more become also a political manipulation network. Veracity and authenticity of information is irrelevant for Facebook. And what it does focus on is algorithmic engagement optimization to keep you as long as possible within the network to increase their revenues. Pop-ups and contrasts is a collection of hubs, and each of these hubs are run by partner organizations. Users interact with such a hub, but can easily switch between them. As I mentioned, hubs have a duty of care, and especially this translates into moderation responsibilities. Users have different pseudonyms in different hubs, so you really are a different person in a different hub, at least the way it's set up. Within hubs, there are subspaces called rooms, for which further authentication may be required, like in the patient case, but I'll explain some examples of this later on. Furthermore, pop-ups are set up in an open source and non-profit manner. Now, let me go a little bit more into the technicalities. Pop-ups is based on Matrix. Matrix is an open source analog of Slack. Slack is a bit better known as a internal communication network. Each participating organization will run its own Matrix home server, as it's called, and that organization is responsible for the hub. So what happens in that hub falls under the responsibility of that organization, including data storage and management. These home servers are customized by us. They are cryptographically separated from the global Matrix network. So with your global Matrix identifier, you cannot enter our network because we have a separate identity infrastructure surrounding it. What we do in terms of software development falls into two categories. to enhance Matrix itself and to build infrastructure around Matrix, and that's general infrastructure to increase security. Separate system. And two flows will be presented. First, an easy flow, how to move from one partner organization, and that's VPRO, which is a broadcasting organization in the Netherlands, how to move from its website into pop-ups, and this assumes that you're already registered. Then in a second part of the demo, we do a step back, and we assume you're not already a member of pop-ups, and what do you have to go through to become a member? And in these demos, we assume that you already have this Irma app installed on your phone, but Harm will explain this more in more detail.
So hi, over everyone. Hi, everyone. I'm Harm van Stekelenburg, the lead software developer of PubPubs. And I'm going to show you first the logging in. And to show that, we have a small faked version of the website of VPRO, the broadcasting company. It's of one of their programs, Tegenlicht. It's more one of the programs that goes more in depth behind the news. And what we've added to this website is this huge PubHubs talk along button. And if I click that, I'll be asked to log into the VPRO hub. So I'll click the button now. And as you can see, we're entering into the VPRO hub. But because I'm not logged in yet, I'll be redirected to the logging in, the central login of PubHubs, where I can scan the QR code. If I can open my phone, of course. Yes, there we go. So I'll scan the QR code. I'll show my PubHubs membership card, and that's it for logging in. And you can see here that I have to confirm that I am indeed Harm. And after I've done that, I'm entered into the hub. And based on the styling, you can see it's not customized. But now, instead of logging in, I'm gonna click this register button to give me an account. And now I'll also show a little bit of what happens inside the Irma app. It's shown on the screen now. And I'll scan this QR code. And I have to select my email address and my phone number. And that's gonna be added to my PubHubs account, my membership card, as you can see here. I'll accept it. And this telephone number and email address won't be shown to the hub itself, but the central platform knows this data. So here I can choose a screen name, and because I'm now a newly registered user, I'm gonna call myself Ian. You can see here, I get the ID here, but it's not so nice. So I'll pick a screen name as a person. I have to accept some rules of the hub itself. These can be slightly different depending on what hub you're entering, or even different from the PubHub Central rules. So I continue and confirm. And in the same way as logging in, I'm in the hub and I can discuss the broadcasting's programs with anybody else inside this hub.
Thanks, Aaron. any questions at this point, or shall we reserve questions to the end? I guess that's easier, huh? To reduce the switching and interaction. So as we've shown, within a hub, you can have several subspaces in which interaction can take place. Let's take VPRO, which is a Dutch broadcasting organization. It can choose to organize separate rooms, for instance, for its members of the broadcasting organization, who then get access to all TV programs, for instance, or followers for a special TV program to discuss their experience, like Harm showed. And in that case, probably no authentication is required. Or the VPRO may set up a general discussion room and choose for this room a real name policy, where people then via IRMA have to really prove who they are. Schools or university can run a hub with rooms, for instance, for students in particular classes, also for research groups, or also for parents of pupils of primary and secondary schools. We're cooperating with libraries in the Netherlands, which are typically locally organized within cities or within parts of cities, and which are often very active there and are also now moving into the digital world and need a reliable environment to do so, to organize their activities like study groups or cultural activities. We're also cooperating with municipalities, which can use the new social network for interaction with their citizens to organize citizen discussion groups, but also to have one-on-one authenticated communication with citizens so that people from the municipality can discuss sensitive topics, for instance, related to social benefit with individual citizens, with which, according to the GDPR rules, is only allowed after proper authentication. So what we do in pop-ups, we combine conversation with identity and authenticity. So the conversation comes from Matrix. It offers standardly chat, voice, video, and all end-to-end encrypted. Matrix is getting more and more popular in Europe, for instance. German and French governments have picked it up, and probably others too. Matrix itself claims about 40 million users. The contextual identity that we include is based on this IRMA system and something else called PEP, which is called polymorphic encryption and pseudonymization. And this polymorphic refers to the idea that in different hubs you have different pseudonyms, which in the background are connected and which are smoothly changed when you move from one hub to another. This happens under the hood, and you don't need to worry about this. Okay. What we also wish to include is signed contact. With the IRMA app, you can not only authenticate, but also put digital signatures on certain messages. So, for instance, in certain rooms, it may be required that people only can post things which they sign, where they put a digital signature on it. Or you can make it possible that institutions, let's say the police, can post signed messages so that if they issue warnings to the public, members of the public can really check that this warning comes indeed from the police. And this is an example where we use digital means to strengthen institutions from the offline world, also in the online world, so that it's they are clearly recognizable, and also their messages are clearly recognizable. So what's the status? We have a development team at Nijmegen, including 6, 7, or 8 people, depending a little bit how you count. Some of them are part-time. We are started to do demos now this spring. We hope to have in the fall or early next year a production version where people can really start using it for selected communities. I've received a certain form of funding in the Netherlands called Stephen, which is quite a bit of money for quite a long time. So it actually lasts for 5 years, and this gives stability to this development process. It's not something we do for a year and then go somewhere else again. We want to continue this for at least a 5-year period and then see where it stands and how it can be prolonged. I worked together closely with José van Dijk, who's a colleague of mine of the University of Utrecht. She's a professor in media studies, and she will and she has received a similar form of funding, and she will focus more on the governance of this whole endeavor. We work closely together with Public Spaces, which are also present at this meeting, I understand, which is a cooperation of broadcasting organizations and cultural organizations in the Netherlands, who are all really, really uncomfortable with the situation that they nowadays have to reach their audiences online, mostly via commercial social networks. We co-develop with several partners here in the Netherlands, which are probably not that interesting to you internationally. Let me tell you a little bit about governance of all of this. There are questions coming up in this area. We like to do this on a non-profit basis as a cooperative. We need to set up a separate legal entity for this. This still all has to be done. We need some oversight board for all of this. We need to manage contracts, software, etc., and to embody the ethical principles in certain manifests. The hubs are run by partner organizations. They run their own matrix server with rooms, their own field. They have a duty of care, which should be laid down in contracts and manifests. And especially these hubs will have responsibility for moderation and dispute resolution. And we need to develop rules for all of this jointly. These hubs need to sign a contract with the Central Pop-Ups organization. This way they enter the broader community. At a technical level, this means that they will get a cryptographic private key, and which allows them then to participate in the network. For the time being, all of this is free, but we may apply a fee at some stage in this. The rooms within hubs, they will offer basic functionality for cooperation. Some of this is already present in Matrix, some not, but that we will add ourselves and contribute to the Matrix community. For instance, having a shared agenda and meeting planner inside this whole network can be very useful. Again, the rooms will be organized by the hubs around it. There are many, many unresolved questions that we will be working on in the coming years. This is also partly a social science study and experiment, and also a design experiment, because we are very well aware that the whole interface design and user experience is very important for the success of such an endeavor. We also have some challenges here, because we separate everything in hubs and separate organizations. Immediately questions come up of how to cooperate between different hubs. This is a very natural question, but also challenging. Certainly, if you want to see these hubs and these different spheres in which people can have different separated identities, and if you suddenly start combining things, how does this work? Think again of these patient organizations, their identity there should not show up in other hubs. I've mentioned some other topics here, which you can read yourself. So some conclusions. What we really want to work on is co-creation, do this together with several public organizations. We help them to some extent to design their own space, but many of these organizations want to do this themselves also. We like to build up trust through having a safe, transparent, open space. We see it as really a challenge to how to do these kind of things, really in contrast to how the big commercial social networks operate. And we think also the time is right to do this now in the Netherlands, but also in Europe, because we see this as a really European endeavor, working from fundamental human rights perspective, which we like to incorporate in this technology, and not so much the perspective, the more US-based perspective. Everyone is on his own, and privacy is a matter of negotiation with a powerful organization. Now we try to build in protections within this infrastructure, both technically and organizationally. And this is the challenge we set ourselves to for the next 5 years. This is it. I'm happy to take your questions and feedback. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much for this very interesting insights in your work. Are there any questions here or in the Matrix channel?
Yeah, thanks a lot for your talk. I have a question regarding the authentication part of your stack. It seems quite important because, if I understood things correctly, this is a centralized part in the system. So I have, I think, two questions. The first would be, does centralized mean that for your like concrete project of building this environment of hubs focused on Dutch civil society, if I understood things correctly, but would the software that you develop within this project and the whole environment be suitable also for like running your own authentication endpoint and forming like a separate PubHubs network that relies maybe on different properties of authentication? So this would be more the organizational question, maybe. At what part do you see this centralization requirement? And the other would be a bit more technical. I'd be interested, I never heard of that Irma app or tool before. It sounded kind of similar to OpenNID Connect. Could you maybe comment if that is correct, and if it differs, like in what sense does it differ, and is it like a new proposal for a general purpose authentication protocol, or if not, why did you choose like a newer custom protocol versus the more established existing protocols, like for example OpenNID Connect?
Okay, there several questions here. First of all, the current focus of development is on the Netherlands. We're very well aware of a broader interest in here. But we don't have the ambition to roll this out also in Austria or wherever. Although what we use in this IRMA app are email and mobile phone number, which can be added in by people in Austria as well. So that infrastructure is internationally available. What we see, much of the work goes on also in the organizational sphere. We're happy if organizations come up in other countries and wish to copy things and cooperate, but that's this stage, that's not our focus. Then about IRMA, it is based on zero knowledge proof technology called IDEMIX, which is developed by IBM Zurich in the late 90s, and which has become quite well known. It is not yet formalized as a standard, but there is ongoing work on credential-based authentication, and I expect this to be formalized in the next few years. So it's a different protocol than OpenID, but things could be possibly combined, and there is some effort, separate effort from what we do, to fit IRMA in other standards. With regard to other authentication means, Europe has published plans for its own wallet ID. The plans have been published in June last year. I think it may still take a couple of years before there is a common system in Europe for a similar attribute-based authentication system. When it's there, I'm sure we will integrate it. At this stage, IRMA is a precursor of this European wallet idea, and will work with IRMA, which works well certainly here in the Netherlands, also because IRMA is connected to the national citizen administration. So people can get their official name, their address, their date of birth, their citizen identification number, all inside their IRMA app. And in that sense, it's useful for the kind of things we do. Also, IRMA is being connected to the National Register of Healthcare Professionals and also of company registrations. So it's a very broad, developing into a very broad and flexible authentication system. It's, by the way, open source, so everyone can copy and use it. And it's much more flexible than OpenID. For instance, because there is this attribute-based technology behind it, it can do this attribute-based authentication, but also attribute-based signing. So I would say it's well beyond OpenID.
Thank you. There are any more questions?
The other authentication thing you said was PEP, no? Can you explain a little bit more about this?
PEP is part of the technology, and that is the technology we use to handle these pseudonyms, so that in each hub a participant gets automatically a different pseudonym. Mm-hmm. It's also some crypto-based system for generating and handling these pseudonyms. It's separate from IRMA. It's a much more limited technology. So we are here in Nijmegen at the university. We have a background in security and privacy, so we focus very much on these kind of things. And I think what you see with the problems, the challenges that alternative social networks like Matrix and Mastodon have is precisely in this area of authentication. And organizing authentication on a global scale is extremely difficult, and there are very few ways of organizing this. And so we started doing this on a national scale first, but this is now being extended to a European level in a different developments.
Hi, my question is more about the governance. If I understood it right, so if a new hub wants to sign up, he signs an agreement with you to fulfill like the basic ethical standards. Yeah. So, but this governance model or this governance board, do you think of also distributing this also somehow to give some influence or participation at least to the hubs if they want to participate in this governance model?
So the number of hubs that we foresee, let's say in the next year or so, will be less than 10. So, and mostly with organizations that we already know. So governance is not so much a challenge there. We have regular meetings already with this group of front runner users. It's indeed a challenge if the number of hubs really, really grows. And we'll have to involve some representation of these hubs in the governance model, indeed. But again, that depends on how quickly this number grows. And in general, our attitude is we'll handle things once we get there. Let's get it off the ground first. This is a big challenge to get enough users into the system, which is always a problem with a new social network. I think we're in a reasonably good position here because these cultural and broadcasting organizations are involved and they have unique content that people may be interested in. And also these patient organizations, there are actually around 600 of them in the Netherlands. It's a huge number. And they involve in total about 1 million people. Now, if you get a substantial number of them into your network, then you can say you're off the ground. And so that's the challenge we focus on. And we'll see which organizations join and how to governance this. Although we're well aware of the issues also there. For instance, we've asked ourselves the question, would we also want political parties to run a hub within our setup within PropHubs? Now, in principle, I'm open to this, but in the Netherlands, we also have some far-right populist parties which, are not always very well behaved online and which fit very badly with the kind of things we like to achieve here. So maybe they don't want to join up at all, but maybe they do just so that it gives them some credibility. We don't know how to handle this yet. We'll have to reach some consensus in the PropHubs community on this.
I have another question, maybe more from a kind of development perspective. I'm thinking about what tools actually will be or are in scope of being developed and where this will happen. So I would imagine that this integrating this IRMA authentication would be something that would happen on the level of a Matrix home server, likely. So you'd develop integrations into existing Matrix servers to support new means of authentication. I've been reading some work that Matrix is currently looking into replacing their existing authentication schemes with OAuth or OpenID. So would that also mean that you would work towards having pluggable authentication mechanisms in existing Matrix server implementations? If so, do you already know what your Matrix home server of choice would be, because there's several of them, and if I understand things correctly, for a hub to integrate with the PropHubs network, it would have to use a home server that supports this IRMA authentication. So that could be quite a challenge to, like, there's several servers and they are developing. So this would be one question. Another would be for the front end you're envisioning there. Is this also something you're, like, would you want to start a new matrix front end that has maybe other room features or another few of rooms that maybe is a bit more social media like and less chat like? The existing, like, Element is very chat and real time focused UI. I'd say it doesn't really invite to browse for content in the way that maybe Facebook does, where you click around pages and then scroll a bit down. Even I think even the existing, like Facebook is bad for finding content already. So there's but it's still better than a chat user interface. And if you look into developing such front ends, would that be also, like, I think it would all be open source, right? And then would it also be intended as more or less like general purpose front ends, or how much would the integration, like, how much would you add on top of Matrix, and what part of PubHubs would be like extensions to Matrix? Yeah,
no, that's a really good question. And I think it was shown a little bit on the slide that we have the two levels, sort of the central platform and more hub specific. And I think especially for the latest question, what are we going to do with the front end? We want to move that as much as possible to the hub, because anyway, they want to do their own things. But you are correct, because it doesn't really look like a social network. We're starting from Element at the moment and see how far we can get with that, because it already exists and it would be so much work to redo it, but maybe add some custom functionality that several hubs can reuse, so as the sort of central pub-hubs part. So that's our plans for the front end at the moment. And at the back end, so the home servers and the identification, that belongs with us, of course. And you're right, it's a little bit on top of the home server. So we're using the general OAuth mechanism that's already there in Synapse. And then we've added a little bit to handle these pseudonyms, to decrypt them with the secret key. And for now, we're using around 50 lines of Python code and add that to Synapse. So it's not too much. And I hope we can get pretty far with that. But because it's such a small change, we can supply Docker images and things like that for people that want to run hubs. I hope that answers it a little bit.
There are more questions now. Matrix.
One other question. You've been talking about doing work with the Dutch public broadcasters. So I was thinking about if that media part, like publishing media within PubHubs, is like, it sounded a bit like a focus or something also to attract users. And this is also, of course, related to what this conference here is about and what we've been talking about a lot, and also is like we've been looking at Matrix, if this kind of serves a purpose for a exchange of community media, which is the topic of this meetup here. So I was wondering if you had any plans or ideas already of how, because currently I think like publishing media or linking to media is more of a side note in Matrix. You can, like, of course, do it. You can, I think, even upload documents, but I haven't seen it being used for like a video stream or like a replacement for YouTube, let's say, or parts of YouTube. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts about what Matrix could offer for media publishing, and if there's plans on your side of, I don't know, maybe having. I've seen some examples of using Matrix channels not necessarily as a real time feed, but more as a repository of content. So you'd kind of index the whole feed and then have more of a tiles view of the media being published in there or something like this. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts or ideas in that sphere.
We have some initial thoughts. So we've been talking to broadcasting organizations about this, and what they they need is an interface between their current content management systems and Matrix, so that with simple pushes on buttons, they can export things also to Matrix. And for the time being, their view is they will use pop-ups next to their existing social media outlets and maybe use these for a while, these existing things like Twitter or Facebook, to try and get invite people into pop-ups. But the way they can push things to Twitter or to Facebook should be available also within Matrix. How that is then rendered within Matrix still has to be developed indeed. And we're happy to cooperate with these kind of things with the open source community, because we don't want to invent all this ourselves. Hopefully this answers a little bit.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we closed the Q&A. Or there are more questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Have fun.